Talk Tonight continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's Mark Toohey.
Easter Island is not just for Easter anymore, but it's in the news again. We're learning that the towering, this is the island in the Pacific?
Yes.
That is full of these huge giant stone heads. Infamous. People have, you've all seen the pictures of it. I think Apple even has an emoji for Easter Island little heads, big forehead people. Hopefully they're not life-size, because then the Earth was once ruled by giants. But anyway, Easter Island's in the news. There was a volcano that erupted on one of the islands there, and it's caused damage to the stone heads. The stone heads have been charred by flaming, molten hot rock from the volcano. But that got us talking about this UNESCO World Heritage-listed island. It's 3,500 kilometers off the coast of Chile. And it is Ben Harrison's favorite place that he's never been. Apparently, the Blue Jays might be shortly heading there to play golf. We'll see. We'll find out tomorrow. But joining us now, because he is our go-to guy when it comes to what kind of stuff, is Nathan Radke, cultural history professor at Humber College in the Greater Toronto area and the co-host of the Uncover Up podcast. Nathan, welcome back to News Talk Tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on.
So Easter Island, it is one of those things we've all kind of seen pictures of it. Nobody seems to know much about it. Hopefully you know a little bit about it. Where did these statues come from? I mean, I'm assuming they were placed here by aliens, but maybe there's a more terrestrial explanation. Do we actually know?
Well, we have some idea where these came from. Humans probably showed up on Rapa Nui, which is what they would have called Easter Island, but 1,000 years ago. And these statues, or moai as they're called, they were probably carved by the locals around 1400. Of course, there are lots of conspiracy theories about them. The main one, as you mentioned, is that they were carved by aliens. We seem reluctant for some reason to acknowledge that ancient people were resourceful and clever. But the people of Rapa Nui would have had the tech and the manpower to haul those large stones around, and they are massive. There's over 900 of them on the island, and some of them are over 30 feet tall and over 80 tons. So they are pretty amazing things.
Yeah, and I mean, if you consider, you're saying it's sort of around 1400, so you know, thousands of years, well, 1,000 years before that, I think, somebody built the pyramids. So the technology to move massive pieces of rock, Stonehenge in the UK, I mean, yeah, the technology, I guess, must have existed.
Yeah, I mean, there's some debate about how they did it exactly, whether they maybe rolled them on giant logs or they kind of like rocked them back and forth and walked them into place. But the most likely explanation that we've come up with is that like maybe teams of 25 people would have slid these giant rocks along on sleds. We also don't really know what they meant. There's a lot of debate. Were they, you know, representing some kind of ancestor worship, or were they there to sort of show people where important things were, maybe underground springs? And, of course, part of the reason that we don't know much more about the meaning of these things is that the society on that island suffered something of a collapse by the end of the 19th century.
Interesting, because I'm just trying to compare the timeline. So 1400, around the time that Europeans were moving across the ocean to North America, and indigenous people here used totems, large carvings, to sort of represent their family history. And, you know, even further north, there were Inukshuk that were constructed to mark as wayfinding things. So I guess all of that kind of is not dissimilar.
Yeah, as human beings, we like to carve these icons. We like to have some kind of evidence that we were there. And, of course, in the case of Easter Island, it's almost all that's left of the population that was there. Between deforestation by the local inhabitants, which probably caused something of an environmental catastrophe there, they had invasive rats. There was, of course, European diseases. They lost people to the slave trade. So all that's left of that society are these giant stone heads. So the fact that they've been damaged in this fire makes it even more tragic.
It's hard. I often confuse in my brain the Galapagos Islands and Easter Island. But Easter Island is a populated island. There's about 5,000 people that live there today on a semi-permanent basis. Do they bear any sort of cultural or historical connection to the original inhabitants that might have carved these huge stone monoliths?
Well, around the beginning of the 19th century, there was only about 100 people left on that island. When Europeans first showed up, there was probably closer to 4,000 or 5,000 people there. So to get a population down to only 100, that's pretty much a complete collapse of a society. So the people that are there now, they've probably carried some of the culture forward, but most of it would have been lost over 100 years ago.
And so are there other cultures that did something similar around the world?
Well, I mean, basically every culture has tried to leave some kind of mark. And in the case of our culture, it'll be curious to see if hundreds of years from now, what's left of our culture that people were trying to parse and figure out the meaning of.
Single-use plastic bags, apparently.
Yeah, they'll think that we worship them.
So let's talk about some of the funner conspiracy theories. Like, I have heard theories, and it seems reasonable. It's not reasonable. But, I mean, what are the chances that there are giant stone bodies attached to these heads but buried underneath the ground that we haven't discovered yet?
Well, actually, the amazing thing is that that is the case. We're used to seeing these, you know, giant stone heads, and they're already pretty impressive. But once you sort of dig around those giant stone heads, you see that there are, in fact, bodies underneath them. Now, they're not to scale. Like, the heads are still much, much larger than they would be on a to-scale human. The heads are about a third the size of the bodies. But it still shows you just how impressive these massive carvings were, that not only do they have these giant heads, but a lot of them do have bodies buried underneath.
I had no idea. I thought I was just making most of that up. So you're telling me that this was the birthplace of baseball. These are the first bobbleheads.
Yeah, that's exactly what they look like. They look like immense ancient stone bobbleheads.
And do they think the bodies were buried intentionally, or did they sink over time somehow?
Well, what probably happened, I mentioned the deforestation before. Once those trees were chopped down, then the topsoil becomes quite loose, and then during rainstorms, it would have all sort of flooded down, and you would have had big mudslides, and a lot of the bodies would have been buried in those mudslides.
So, okay, you've blown my mind with this being a fact and not just a fiction. So my next one, I'm afraid to ask, any chance that these are connected to the same stone, the same something to other sort of massive mysterious artifacts like Stonehenge or the pyramids?
Well, I mean, there is kind of a connection there, but it isn't a direct connection. It's just sort of the general connection of humanity that... maybe it's because we know that we won't be here forever, that we want to leave something that lasts. And for most of human history, the biggest, heaviest thing that would last the longest was stone. So it makes a lot of sense that we would make a monument that would last out of the thing that would last the longest, which is, of course, stone.
So these Easter Island bobbleheads were not originally posed on top of Stonehenge. We can rule that out.
That seems pretty unlikely.
Okay. Nathan Radke, thank you so much for blowing my mind tonight. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, wow, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Nathan Radke is a cultural history professor at Humber College and the co-host of the Uncover Up podcast. Ben Harrison, am I the only one that didn't know that there were actual, like, mini bobblehead bodies buried underneath these things? I am the only one that didn't know that. Thanks very much. Yeah. Let's talk about your Blue Jays. Well, at least Mark Tang didn't know. He looked gobsmacked as much as I did. When we come back, I know that you don't get a chance to listen to 4 hours of me talking all night, so you might very well have missed the rundown earlier in the show when we went through some of the stories of the day, the major headlines that you might have missed while you were living your actual life and not listening to the radio. So we'll bring that back to you for a repeat performance. Joining us today to break down these stories, Ryan Price is host of Afternoons with Ryan Price at CFAX 1070 in Victoria, and Vass Bednar is Executive Director of the Masters in Public Policy Program in Digital Society at McMaster.